It is so good to have together the Kingdom Builders tonight and to just share a little bit. And I've got a bunch of stuff I need to get through in a few videos to kind of show you what's been happening in the last few months and where we're going. But I want to talk today about preparing your heart for your next season. Every person in the room has a next season. The season is often above your ceiling. It's past the ceiling that you're hitting all the time. And as you look at the Word of God, it's very clear that your heart, there's an internal part of you. Psychologists call it your subconscious, and I don't care what you call it, because the Bible just calls it the heart. It is an inner side, and we've talked about it a lot at church, but let's look at it today from the perspective of wealth, from the perspective of business, from the perspective of what God has called you to next if you're retired. But there's a place that you're trying to move to, and nobody is satisfied where they are. Your relationship, your business, your career, your thinking, your sense of self is all been designed to move into a new realm, into a new place. The hardest you're ever going to work, the hardest you're ever going to deal with emotions will be in the transition period between one season to the next season. If you're here and you just think to yourself, this has been one hellish few months, tell yourself and remind yourself you're in transition between where you are to where you want to go. Now, some people fail at transition. Okay, they do. And they come scratching and clawing down the slope back to the last level that they were successful and able to handle, and they had the capacity to handle. But that doesn't mean you're still stuck there. I'd rather make a number of attempts and come kicking and sliding back, you know what I mean, trying to get to that next level, than to sit there and go, wah, wah, I guess this is me. I guess I'm never going to get any further. And you know what? Things might change in finances. They might change in you. They might change around you. There is times where timing is crucial. But in order for us to get to that next level, and as a pastor, I feel the same way. You know, when you look back over the years and the growth of Springs that we've all been involved in, it's not like it was 20 years ago in a little shopping store that we converted into a church with a few hundred people. And back then it was already almost bankrupt. As we, you know, and when I first came in, as we're trying to salvage this church and get it to the next level. And then from there, seeing the school, another entity, the Miracle Channel, every one of those entities was pretty much bankrupt or in such financial trouble that it was like, shut it down, or how do we rescue this thing? And it's interesting that in order for us as leaders, because we're all leaders, to go to that next level, we often think it's external skills. It is external wisdom that we need to find. And now there is definitely, that is a component. But over the years, there's something I've found that has helped me to de-stress. It's helped me to look at that next level and take it easier. And that is, I do the internal work before I work on the external work. Now, here's what's interesting. The miraculous comes out of your heart. So if you need miracles, you need staff. If you need a window of opportunity to open that you've never had before globally or in the area that you're working or in another area of business that you actually could pick up and use in the area that you're in, if you don't make the necessary internal changes, you will sabotage the event that God is setting up. Over the years, I've watched Christians who have desired to succeed, desired to take their lives through the levels and the steps that God has for them. And when they begin to struggle, they will question it this way. I don't know if God's in this. I don't know if this is God. I'm just not feeling good about it. Now, I don't mean to confuse you, but there are a couple of things you've got to clarify. Is your heart not feeling good about it because you haven't done the heart work to own that new level? Or is your heart not feeling good about it because it's the presence of God steering you, saying, no, 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 move away from that opportunity. God knows the future. He knows what is a wise and not a wise investment. So your time in the Word, your time worshiping, your quiet time is crucial for you to begin to identify the voices of your heart. One is going to be the presence of God and the voice of God that you learn to sense and feel. But then there's another voice in your heart, which is your limitations and your misbeliefs. Misbeliefs will always be attached to fear. Misbeliefs will always be attached to a sense of dread, or it'll be attached to a sense of identity. If you don't feel good about something because you feel like you can't do it, that's often not Holy Spirit. It's your insecurity speaking. So there's different ways, and we could probably talk for a whole hour on just beginning to learn to listen to your own heart. Because from the heart is the greatest direction you'll ever get. And from the heart, it flows the things that you need. For example, when you begin to believe internally for a level that you've never hit before, it could be relational, it could be business, doesn't matter. You personally, in your self-worth, if you're looking at that level, you need to do the heart work to see yourself there. There's two things that I practice personally as I see the church going to a place, or I see an opportunity that I've never done before, and it's awkward for me, and it's like, it's just like unusual. God, is that the door you're opening? I've never done that before. It requires me developing some new skills, finding some new staff. It's an area that, oh man, I don't know if I want to mess with that, but yet I'm sensing it's God. I first of all need to deal with my identity, and all of you will. For example, your identity can identify with a certain amount of income. You can identify with a $250,000 income a year. You can identify with a $500,000 income. You can identify with a gross business that's going to maybe do $10 million. There's something that you can identify with that is a part of your identity. But when you look to go beyond that, you butt into a ceiling of, I don't know if I can do that. And it's got to do with your self-worth. And the heart is the center of your self-worth. That is the first thing that needs to be changed if there's something you're going to do that is beyond anything you've done before. How do you do that? All right. Doing it with God's word is, I think, the most powerful, but yet we all understand that people in the world quite often, have you seen a person that's risen into stardom and you kind of go, look at that guy go. He was here, now he's here. He was run one company, now he's two. He was at millions, now this guy's at hundreds of millions. How does he do that? Somehow, in his own way, he's tapped into an ability to train his own heart. With or without God, these principles work. It's just with God, it works far greater, and his presence can guide us in it. And so what they'll do is they'll often hang around or get around people who are at the level they've never been before. And when you're there, the talking with them, sensing them, being in their buildings, being at conferences with them, just getting into their world somehow helps you to visualize yourself there. Many people will never go further in their life till they begin to find people who've gone further. And in hanging with them, that attitude, being in their world, helps them to picture themselves in that world. So there's two things that I've noticed in my heart that I have to do if I want to go to a new level. The first is I need to be able to see it when I close my eyes. I need to be able to see it. The language of the heart is visual. It's the imagination, or as the Bible words are, it's dreams and visions. So you need to see yourself there. Now, that's the first thing. When you close your eyes, what do you see when you think about this area? The second thing is you need to be emotionally involved. In other words, if you see something that you're trying to get your heart convinced of, you want to be able to see it, and then you want the joy, the sense of success, the sense of I've arrived at this new level. You want that emotion and that picture to come together. Now, today I'm just talking pure business. I could take you into the Word for 40 verses and show you how the Word teaches us and how they all connect. And it's in Elizabethan English, and it uses a language that's religious. I'm using a business language for you. You'll need to see and you'll need to feel. When you see and feel, a new level, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing can stop you. And the Bible uses language like that, that when a person believes, nothing is impossible. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it done unto you. And when you study the faith of the New Testament, it is seeing it and feeling it. It's experiencing it before it happens. It is seeing it with the eyes of faith. Literally, it means sensing it. Your five senses feed your emotions. If you're with your kids right now, your grandkids, and you're just laughing and loving because you're hearing and touching that little cheek, and your kids are laughing and running around the house, and the parents are out doing, and it's just, you're overwhelmed by this immense feeling of laughter and joy and family, and you're seeing it. See, that is, your five senses they feed your emotions. So people who want to be and go to a new place in any area of their life, you need to do the heart work. And you need to get the heart work done on the inside. Now, what's interesting is the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. A force of prosperity, a force of joy, a force of depression, a force of just feeling wah, wah, all comes out of the heart, where the deepest beliefs hold you in a firm grip. So you need to make sure. Today we talked about what to teach our kids, and we've gone through 9 things to teach our children. You take those same 2 messages and make sure that you're grounded in those 9 promises and concepts. Because if you're not, your own heart will fight against what you desire. Your own beliefs of the heart will push against the very thing that you're dreaming about. What are some of the ways to do it? If you've been raised in faith, you know the power of confession. Now, the business world will call it affirmation. They actually did a study on positive affirmations, and they found that only 25%, 1 out of 4 people who makes positive affirmations, confessions about where they're going to go in life, it helps them. 75% of the people who try to use positive affirmations, it makes them feel like liars. It makes them feel down. It reminds them that they haven't arrived yet. They're not there. And it was an interesting study because so much of the business world talks about positive affirmation. The Bible calls it confession. And here's what I've noticed in myself. I confess the promises of God in related to what I'm believing God for. But the confession is not to release that into my world, it's to build it into my heart. 2 kinds of confession. Confess the promises of God so that you are doing the heart work. You are planting God's seed, His promises, into your heart. And you know it's not happening. You know. There was a time in Calgary when we were believing for buildings, and I was running around and just trying to keep everything going and God's blessing. And then a number of years, and I thought, it's time for a building. It's time for a building now. And I just thought, okay, I got to get serious about a building here. I'm tired of renting the university studios and stuff. And so I told Sally, about November of last year, all of a sudden I just began to take that and build that into my heart. And what I would do is I would take the buildings and I would see myself standing in front of a building that was kind of hazy, but I would say, we've got our campus, we've got our campus. And I'd see myself relaxing and jumping and hundreds and thousands of people coming in. And I just kept going to the promises of God, where the word of God says, hey, speak it, believe it. Where it talks about where Jesus said, I will build my church. I begin to confirm the thing I was believing God for by finding promises. And then I would sit down and I would close my Bible. My kids often think I'm sleeping because I'll be sitting on a couch in a certain place. Then they know where I am. And they'll walk by and dad's sleeping. I don't know, he's probably thinking. And they're right. I'll be sitting there, and what I'm doing is I'm connecting my heart with what I desire. I'm building in. I literally am working my imagination. You see, memory lets you look at your past. Imagination lets you look at your future. The world thinks that's transcendental meditation. The world thinks, well, that's just a bunch of mind games. Oh no, the Bible's very clear. If you want the perfect will of God, you renew your mind. Ephesians 4:23 says, do it continually. Continually reinforce the attitude of where you're going, that you are a person that can handle it, that you can go to that level, whether it's a numerical number of money, whether it's the size of an organization. See, I'm called to be a pastor. Most of you are called to a different world, a world of business or a world of politics or a world of medicine or whatever area that you're into. And God has unstoppable places for you in those areas. You must build it into your heart. Now, if you don't know where you want to go next, you got a problem. Because if you go to the the airport, say, I need to go somewhere. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Well, sir, I can't sell you a ticket until you decide where you want to go. Once you decide where you want to go, then I can get you a ticket. You'll find your heart is the same way. If you're in a season right now of, you know, I don't know what's next for us, you might want to consider that maybe it's a low sense of self-worth, that this is as good as I ever dreamed I could do. What do you do when you hit your life goals in a couple years? You know, that's what happened to me as a pastor. I just never dreamed that I would pick up a church and you know, this little group of people in St. Mary's Road, and all I knew was small churches. That's what my dad, you know, my dad was a phenomenal pastor, my mom, but it was always small churches. Canada only had small churches back then. And then I thought, wow, it'd be amazing if we had a church of thousands. And within 3 years, this thing was past 2,000. And in a year and a half, I was the only pastor pastoring that many people. I was having a nervous breakdown. But the things that I believed would happen happened so quickly. People said, well, where's next? I'm going, And I actually had already surpassed the goal that I dreamed of one day. And so I had to begin to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, God, like, what do we do now? And I begin to think about, well, I can see a new building that holds thousands and then multiple services in that building. And I begin to build that into my spirit. And if you've ever heard a bit of my story, I think it's on Healing the Sick series, where I would literally go into the St. Mary's Road and I would walk through the sanctuary. And I would just see it packed out, filled up. I'd see building with a couple thousand people, and I'd see it doing multiple services. And I got so excited about it because I could see it. And what I was doing was I wasn't releasing it. We didn't even have that building yet. We hadn't even started the building campaign. But I was building into my heart by using the Word of God, His promises, and I knew it was God's will. I find that it's impossible for me to believe for something till I know it's God's will. Now, there's a lot of things you already know. God's will says prosperity is His will. Wherever you are now, for you to make more, it's His will. But Leon, come on, when's enough enough? Never. And if you can't handle it, hand it to one of us. We'll know where to give it. Just get it in. Because we've got things to go. We've got places to go. We've got things to do for God. And so there's never an end. You're designed to be like God. You are ever increasing. You're never called to plateau. And in fact, you will feel awful. They say that one of the first causes of depression is when you feel like you aren't growing or learning. That's when depression settles into a life. Many women will feel it at a certain time when their kids begin to go to school and they're trying to find out what they want to do with their time. If they want a few more hours here. Men will do it when they kind of get into the grind of just churning out a paycheck, and they begin to realize somewhere halfway through life that, you know, have I done anything with my life? What do I want to accomplish? And if you don't know, you can say, it's a yuck feeling. To dream is a God thing. To have a dream is a God thing. And if you get to a place where you've met goals, that's one of the reasons why I believe Hollywood is so messed up. They have a skill. That skill catapults them to a place where their dreams are being fulfilled past whatever. And they don't know where to go. Where do you go from there? Now, you know, this singer packs out stadiums, 80,000 people per stadium. He's making more money than he can even spend on cocaine. And now where do I go from here? And so I'm going to save the whales. I'm going to help spotted owls. It's a real empty existence when you achieve your goals and you don't know where to go from here. Then they just focus on themselves and they try to protect where they are. So every young actor coming up and every other song guy coming up is competing for their area. It's awful. But when we have a goal that's attached to God, and your business, your career, your family, your home has a purpose that's bigger than your family and your home, it brings a sense of peace that nothing else brings. If you don't have peace now and joy now, the deceitfulness of riches the Bible talks about is that if you had more, you'd have more peace. The opposite is true. When you have more, you'll need to be better at finding peace. When you have more, you'll need to be better at hanging on to joy. Because achieving goals if you're not careful and biblical, it has a way of costing you your peace, your joy, your relationships. Therefore, we need to build into our heart every area that we want changed. You should have a dream for your marriage. What's your dream for your marriage? What do you mean? I'm married. I'm married 40 years. Good for you. But you just married a gift. That person married to you is a gift from God. What's the future going to look like? I don't mean, something weird. I just mean, does it mean, where are you going to spend holidays together? What do you want to learn together? What do you want to do together? What are some together things that you see? What's your dream for your career and your finances? Have one. Don't just grind away at where you are. Have dreams for your family. How do you see your family living? What do you want? You want to do holidays together? You want to rent houses in different continents for a few weeks or a month and get it? You need to have dreams that are like that as well. And you need to see them and build them. And when you have a dream for the house of God, for the kingdom of God. So I know that I'm focused, but I'm shotgunning a little bit and trying to encompass everybody in this room. Wherever you are today, the only thing separating you from that next place that God has prepared for you is not the devil stopping you. It's simply a heart belief. And that heart belief might need to push out a misbelief. For example, because if your belief is, wow, this is as good as I'll ever do, and I'm so stressed out, Leon, I can hardly handle the company I've got. Why would I want to double that company? Well, you're not going to be able to until you double your capacity. Capacity is a big sense on the inside that, is when you're, and here's how capacity works. I don't know how to explain it because I can't explain it. I get stressed out in my life, and then I find that I've got to believe God and build into my heart a new level of capacity. It's kind of like this. When you're in first gear in one of those, in a four-speed, you got a clutch. You're in first gear, and it just... I mean, how many RPMs are you going to have before you blow through that motor? What do you got to do? Well, you can't work any harder. You can't handle more levels of stress. So the clutch needs to go in and the gear shift needs to come down into seven. You've got to figure out what the clutch and the new gear is. Because as soon as you clutch and gear down, this four speed goes, and down here at, you're going twice as fast as you were in first at, all right? And I don't know any other way to explain that other than capacity is an ability to handle where you are. The stress will kill you. It'll make you sick. It'll turf your marriages, your home, if you don't learn how to have a bigger capacity. And capacity comes from believing you must change your inner heart beliefs. I believe, and I've not heard a lot of great teaching on capacity other than that it's needed, but I believe the beliefs of the heart alone determine the capacity you can handle. Just believing you can. You might not even know how to handle 1,000 more employees and need to find more leaders of, etc. You might not even know how to, but believing you can has to be first in there. Now, the other thing your heart does is it connects you to your miracle. What do you need miraculously? Well, I need things changed with this. I need staff. I need a unique person that's not even on the planet, someone that can handle this kind of skill set and this kind of people. Hey, welcome to my problem. Where do you find people that can handle, a job 9 to 5 in the offices and then 600 volunteers all during the week? They don't even train people for that in the real world, where you got to handle 600 volunteers and so there's unique challenges that all of us will have. Your heart connects you to the right people, and your heart disconnects you from people. If you've got a misbelief in your heart, it will actually push away the right people and bring in the wrong people. If you don't believe me, ask that girl that says, I've dated 9 losers in 6 years. How come I always attract losers? It's an interesting question. Maybe there's something in there that has been stamped on your heart as to what a man looks like, what love looks like, and what you've been raised in. And even though you hate it, that's what you're pulled to, because those are the pictures of your heart. This thing called the heart is the key to everything in your future. The Bible is prolific about the heart and teaching on the heart. When you read it, when you go back to the messages that we've taught on the heart, the BS, the belief systems, instead of just reading it from, okay, this is going to help me be good. Yes, it will. But now look at it as, to where can it help you take your life to that next place, to that next level? And the confession, I'm going to just go over this again. Confess God's word not, and don't feel like a liar. For example, when I begin to confess, we have the buildings in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the Calgary campus. And I thank you, it's in a phenomenal place. I thank you, it's going to be exactly what we need. I thank you. And you know, for the first few months of saying that, if I would have been trying to confess it into happening, I'd have felt like a liar. Well, it ain't happening, and it ain't happening, and it ain't happening. And so in your own heart, you need to recognize confession is first building into your heart. It builds it into your heart, and your heart releases it into your world, which is why Jesus does the teaching in Mark 4 about four kinds of soil, and the seed goes in one, it's hard-packed. The seed goes in another, it's choked out by thorns, which are belief systems, cares, anxieties, and then it goes into soil that is good. And it says then it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold, which means what you've owned and had and where you are is now increasing, not just doubling, it's increasing 60-fold. Like, whatever you think you can handle next, God knows that you can handle things beyond anything you can imagine. When I was 15, I started learning to drive a car. And the only car my dad would let me drive was an old Strato Chief 3 on the tree. With the gear shift up here and a clutch and no springs in the front end. And the clutch was pretty touchy. And so I'll never forget, I told Mom one day, I said, when you pick me up after school, I want to drive home. And she goes, okay. So I had my learner. So I get in the car and this horrible thought hit me. I don't know how to drive and all my friends are watching me. And so, okay, I got my left hand on the steering wheel, left foot on the clutch. Now I got my right foot on the brake so I don't roll into the guy in front of me. But when I go into first gear. Now I have to push on the gas, slowly release the clutch without rolling into the guy in front of me with one hand on the wheel. And then I let off the clutch and it started going, you know how the front end would pop up on those old cars and everyone's laughing at me and then I stalled it out and I'm so embarrassed, I'm turning around and to start it, either I have to have it neutral with the clutch out or I have to have it neutral with the clutch, or in first gear with the clutch in, so I put it in and I crank it and now I have to have my foot on the gas to kind of get it going, but I got to have my foot on the brake as well because the brake stopped you from, I had to do all these things simultaneously. It was annoying, I was embarrassed, I'm practicing day after day and trying to get all this, I'm so stressed. But in about 3 months, I'd take that thing through McDonald's. I'd be going through the gears, eating a burger, a Coke in one hand, a McDonald's Mac balanced on one knee, and shifting and clutching and doing. It was just as easy and as natural as could be. Life is like that. What you're doing right now is stressing you out, freaking you out. How can you handle more? Where can you go from here? I don't want any more. I can't handle what I've got. God has clutch situations and gearing situations. It might be the right staff. It might be a systems that you're going to use that have never been used before. It might be a whole new area of financial prosperity or life or thing you just found in your marriage that takes your marriage to a whole new place. Everything in your life can go to a new season. It can go to a new place. But without hoping, and without building it into your heart, you'll never experience it. You'll just think about it. You know, Sal and I, we talk a lot about where we're going next. She does it more than me. Everyone thinks I drag this poor little cute blonde all over the place. But the fact is, her ongoing conversation, Leon, where were you taking our family? Leon, what are we doing next? Leon, she's just geared and wired like me. We want to do more for God. We want to see souls in the kingdom. Can we touch more television stations? How can we plant more churches? How can we raise up greater leaders? What can we do to go do things we've never done before? And so we end up talking a lot. And you know what? Sometimes we miss it. We'll believe for something and go in that direction only to find, oh man, that's not where we want to go. We want to go over here. But this desire that my life must not plateau. I am going to take our family. We're going to take our marriages. We're going to take our businesses and our careers. And we're going to take this church called Springs Church to a place that we've never been before. And with just your career and just your money, it'll be empty. But if you can tie it to a purpose, a cause, a legacy, you'll find the greatest joy you've ever had in your life. There's a purpose for business. There's a purpose. There's a vision that God has given us as a church, and there's a provision that God will give us for the vision. And that provision comes through you. You people who are called to go into the marketplace, you're called to be anointed and skilled to rise up. And it should never be that the world is better at us. It should never be they can handle more than us. It should never, I don't care if they're bribing behind your back and everything, the world should never have, you need to believe that in the midst of all of this, I rise like a cork to the top. You can bury me as deep as you want, but the blessing of God on my life will take me to the top. You need to get God's beliefs into your heart. Get rid of the limiting beliefs of your parents, the limiting beliefs of Canada, the limiting beliefs of your small town or your city or wherever you got them from. Get rid of those limiting beliefs and listen to the promises of God, who continually says, bigger than you can dream, further than you can imagine is where I have plans for you. But it's according to the power that is at work within you. It says in Ephesians 3. What are the dreams God has for you? You know, he believes in you more than you believe in him. One day I was having a real stressful day and looking at where we were trying to go as a church. And I said, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm just going to have to believe in you. And all of a sudden these words came up out of my spirit. I believe in you. What? I've not seen that in a verse in the Bible. I mean, it's there, but you believe in me? And I thought, he believes in all of us. That's why he's got a plan for our lives. It supersedes anything we could imagine. He's trying to convince us. You, there's no stopping you from fulfilling the call. And you know what? Stop being afraid of attacks. Stop being afraid of storms. Stop being afraid that if I do that, I open myself up to this. And if I do that, there's this opportunity. And you can begin to look at damage control and go, wow, if we do that, this could be the result. Yep, you're right. Guess what? New levels, new devils, someone told me one time. Well, I got news for you. I don't give the devil that kind of credit, but I do know that the bigger the area, the bigger the problems. And so if you just decide right off the bat, yeah, there's going to be attacks, there's going to be storms, there's going to be, people aren't going to like you if you make more, if you go more, if your company goes to places they haven't been. There's going to be staff that come against you. You're going to deal with lawsuits. Yep, yep, yep. Well, you're freaking me out, Pastor. Get over it. Get your big boy shorts on and just recognize there's not a single person out there that has achieved what they've achieved and gone where they've gone that haven't had everything come at them. And you know what they've just decided? Oh, I can live like the status quo wants me, stay small and little the way they all want me. You know, people even at church, if you're going through something, have you noticed they'll hug your neck, bring you a roast and a blueberry pie, and they'll come over and they'll let you sob on their shoulder. Churches are great when you're hurting. But not everybody's great when you're prospering. When you're just blowing it up, and I mean money's coming in and bills are being paid off and you're succeeding, that's when even Christians start kind of looking at you and going, well, I heard this story about his business and you know, I don't know. I mean, someone else told me that they did a business deal with this guy and it didn't go good. So if he's gotten ahead by grinding people a little bit too much, you're going to hear a lot of stories about yourself the more successful you get. So you're going to have to make a decision. You gonna let the peanut gallery decide where you're going? You gonna let the lawsuits decide? Unhappy people? They're gonna come. The things are gonna happen the bigger you get. I've made a decision. Sal and I have made a decision. We're gonna go after everything we can do in one single lifetime. And God's gonna be with us. And he's gonna protect us. And when things rise up, you just stand strong. The Bible says stand and see God's redemption, his glory. Watch him take you through. Yes, there's things you're going to need to do, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the next level. Well, someone might attack you. Yep. Yeah, but you know what? If I do that, I'm playing with the big guys. I got to bid on these jobs. And you know how much they bribe? I can't bribe, and they're bribing. Yep. Well, what do you think? I don't know. Not my problem. It's your problem. I'll teach you. You have to take the teaching and instruct your heart and go for it. But it's an adventure. It's an adventure. We go watch movies of people who take on impossible odds and go for it. And this movie, they get attacked from the left, the right, and the center. And what do? They just keep going. And when the movie's done, your heart feels this big. And every guy walks out a little bit tougher because he's watched somebody take on impossible circumstances. We love movies like that. We just don't want to live lives like that. Somebody hand us the job, hand us the money. No problems. Everyone loves us and likes us. Guess what? It's a dream. When I meet with senior pastors of mega churches, they often plateau at certain numbers. It could be 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. And to get them to go past that plateau, I do an exercise with them. This is what I tell them. See, all right, get a white piece of paper in front of you, and I want you to write down the changes you would make if everybody applauds it, nobody is upset, every staff member is for it, whether you remove them, everybody loves you. Your competitors, God, what would you do if nobody was upset with you? Who would you remove? Who would you hire? Where would you go? What would you do? And they kind of said, "Stuck, come on, go for it, do it right now. Start writing down what you would do if everybody approved, if it could succeed." You'll see them writing, writing and writing. I'll just give them 5 or 10 minutes because they've been thinking about it a long time already. And now I'll say, "All right, when you go home, get to work on that list." And inevitably, one pastor will speak up and he'll go, "Okay, but you said everybody would like us for doing it." I said, "That's an infantile dream that is never going to happen." I said, "So, but you know this is what you want to do. So why would you let someone unhappy with you or accusations or storms or things, why would you let them stop you? Go do the list." It's when you're at your purest, you know, because there's no more fear guiding you in your decision making. You're making your decisions based on the true desires of your heart. Write them out and then begin to work on them. I'm not saying go do it all tomorrow. I'm going to fire half my staff. Well, you probably need to think it through a little bit. But I'm saying begin on that list. Put that list in front of you and begin to move in that direction. It'll probably be the purest moment that you'll have as to what do I want to do next. Well, I hope this has helped some of you in some way. It's just things I've learned through the school of hard knocks and saying, "Okay, God, I refuse to sit still. I refuse to keep doing what I'm doing. There's something more that you have for us." And you are wired that way. Every person on the planet is wired for increase. You know, if you hear people say, "Well, you know, prosperity, I just don't believe in it because there's enough. Okay, I agree with that. So draw a line, decide what is enough for you to personally enjoy. Once you've drawn that line, light the retro rockets and go make 100 times more than that and go do good things with it. Build a legacy. Make a difference on this planet. Your heart will feel so amazing. And the greatest thing we could ever do is the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, you might give to a lot of causes, and I'll just give you something to think about. I agree on helping the whales, the spotted owls, cleaning up our waterways. I dislike the fact that we're leaving an earth that is all diseased and yucked up for our kids. But think about this. You can feed them, clothe them in the countries around the world, get them clean drinking water, get them healthy vaccinations, but when they die, if they don't know Jesus, they spend eternity in hell. So all you've helped them do is live at the most 70 good years down here and then committed to an eternity of billions of years without Christ. That's why the gospel's so powerful. That's why it's more important than anything else. We live in a world right now that justice is the major thing that people talk about. Justice. Let's see that justice comes. I totally agree. The Church of Jesus Christ helps the poor, the lame, the hurting, the widowed, the orphans. It's all in the Bible. But none of it is greater than the gospel. The gospel is the most freeing, powerful message to change a city, a country, and that's what we're doing as a church. That's what Kingdom Builders is all about. That's why my dream is that as we grow this church, that you'll grow your position, whatever that is, where you can be a greater blessing to the vision that God has given us. He's going to provide the provision, but he's going to do it through you as we look at the vision that he's given us as a church. Praise the Lord. All right, that's all I wanted to share. Let me give you a few things that have been just going on in the last little while that I believe are going to go for coffee and dessert. You okay? You're really quiet tonight, so I'm just kind of going, okay.